All right, this is Marlon Sanders, and I'm excited. I'm jazzed, and I'm pumped, and I'm thrilled, because this is Module 2 of the Roundtable. Module 2, where we're going to discuss the absolute greatest secret of pitching that can take even you and allow you to pitch and sell, even if you don't think you can, never have, never dreamed you'd be able to. And there's really a lot of jam-packed information today. Some of it's going to be basic for those of you just starting out who are newbies. Some of it's going to be more advanced. So wherever you are on that continuum, I'm going to do my best to help you. So these are just a few of the points we're going to be covering today. The real secret behind the amazing formula that nobody really understands. How Ben Feldman sold more insurance than anyone in the world year after year. How to take your product idea, service, and map out a positive pitch plan, which we will do here shortly, which will be very valuable to you. Step-by-step formula that you've not heard before for your pitch. Why you can write in bad grammar and still do well. Why the pitch is an essential block of your basic formula. The probability times salience formula, and then this advanced formula that I have for you. So a lot of really good stuff today. And so we're going to jump right in now. First thing that I want to do is I read through the assignments that those of you who are on this webinar series live sent me. Obviously, for those of you in the future who go through this on the webinar, you're welcome to email it, but I won't be providing you personal feedback. But I did read through, and I have some general comments here that I just wanted to go through real quick pertaining to last week before we get into the meat of this week's session. First of all, just so you know, there's a bonus now on your bonus one tab. And you'll be able to go to your bonus one tab and you should see that. So I wanted to bring that up for you. That bonus is called How to Find Your Target Audience and a Product to Sell. For if you're a newbie, you're struggling with finding the target audience, or you got your target audience, you just can't seem to find the product to sell. I know one of you had emailed and said, well, I've got these possibilities, but I just can't decide on the target market, the target audience, or the intended customers, to use my terminology. Well, go there, go through that video that I created. It's actually a recording from my last A-team call, which I do twice a month, where we get on webinars and I drill down even more in depth into different topics, and it's just enormously valuable. But that one I did specifically with those of you in mind who had told me that you were having some issues finding your intended customers or coming up with a product idea to sell them. So that's in your bonus one tab. Now, second thing, I noticed that a couple of you, man, you've been several of you have been through a lot of materials and you're just not quite on the right track yet. Some of you may be held back by some doubts or fears, which is very normal. When I got into this, and even still in business, I'm a human. So I'm no different than you are. I sometimes have a doubts or I may have fears about something. So let me just tell you about an easy resource for personal change, whether it's procrastination, fear, doubt, worry. It's this resource that's really incredible. There are two things. Number one, you go to eftuniversity.org and you can download this free manual right there. Now, the main EFT website was founded by Gary Craig. EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Technique. Gary retired and he allowed some other people to distribute his manual and some of his materials. So just in case this website doesn't stay up, all you have to do is search for Gary Craig or Emotional Freedom Technique. And there's many people that have these documents up. This is the whole manual. It's called Tapping. Joe Vitale, I believe on tapping.com, spoke at a tapping seminar and so forth. So actually, let me undo my phone. Hold on. It's a problem I didn't anticipate having. All right, there. So Joe Vitale was on this great DVD called Tapping. Very exciting, very cool, very neat. Really neat information about fast personal change. And I really can't talk, I don't want to spend much time talking about it. Some of you need this. I could just tell reading through there, you're clouded up, you're not clear, you don't have your vision. go get this sucker and just try it. It may not work for you. You may read it and think it's all just a, placebo. I don't know. It works for me. That's all I can tell you. Now, also, this series of articles here called The Palace of Possibilities, that's about affirmations. I believe every single one of you should be doing an affirmation of whatever your income goal is. It's just something simple like this. I easily and enjoyably earn whatever your income figure is, $200,000 a year, $50,000 a year. Go with something that's a stretch but is believable for you. So, that's the Palace of Possibilities. Now, let's go ahead and continue. I just wanted to cover that because this is the mental aspect. And some of you, just in what you emailed me, your issues weren't so much marketing as they were the mental or emotional aspects, or certainly those are part, like just not being able to decide on a target market. That's more emotional than it is intellectually how to choose a target market, for example. So I hope that resource is useful to you. Now, in this video that I posted here on Module 1, I actually drill down and show you, and I want to tell you, watch all the way through that video. The webinar starts out kind of slow. By the end of it, and I mean the very, very end, it sounds like I already ended the webinar, and I just keep going. And man, the target market eyes just start flying fast and furious. So go through that bonus and listen to all of it. But these are just some of the target markets on that video that we uncovered, believe it or not. It's really fascinating. So I show you exactly how we researched these and why I felt they were good target markets. The penny stock market, psychic buyers, kettlebell, and we found this website. The genealogy market, here's a home study course. Goats, believe it or not, raising goats. Black belt home study course, Japanese calligraphy designs, the golfing market. We found this really awesome website here, who I think this gentleman's been a customer of mine before, I believe. The woodworking market, the marriage advice market, shed plans, and we found a cool website on that. Getting better grades, sports betting, and rocket languages. On the video, I show you exactly how I found these different target markets. And I think this is going to be really, really valuable, cool, and useful to you. So, wanted to show you that. Now, one last thing. For those of you having trouble finding your target market or just deciding on what to sell, let me just try to boil it down into something. You know, sometimes you just need a paradigm that can give you a handle on it. I don't know if that makes sense. You just need something mentally that allows you to get a grasp on it. So, let me try to give that to you. It's just the simplest way you can do this is find some people that you want to sell to. Now, this doesn't have to be your end all be all. And I'll give you the perfect example. My friend Lee McIntyre is doing really incredible now online, just doing wonderful. He's only been in it 2.5 years. His first product, because he was a teacher, his very first product was for teachers. It wasn't what he's doing now. But he created a little product for teachers that he sold on eBay, and he just got some experience under his belt. He got some experience recruiting affiliates. He got some experience creating and selling info products or a product. He got some experience creating websites and blogs. And he was able then to move from that to the next project, and ended up where he wanted to be. Gary Halbert, the famous marketer, once said, you know, more problems are solved through movement than meditation. Now, I believe in meditation, and I think it's a great thing. But his point is that by moving and getting in action, it makes it easier to move on. Because a body in motion tends to stay in motion. You tend to then, once you get started and moving, then you can change course and change direction. But if you're not moving, you can't do that. So my encouragement to you is pick one. Like some of you emailed 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 possible target markets or ideas. Like one of the comments was, I like this. I think this judo idea is a great idea, but I just don't know if the market's big enough. Well, when Lee started with the teacher market, he didn't know if that was big enough, but he did it anyway, right? And it led to the next thing, led to the next thing. What I would say is, like for the judo one, just get the email of people who are like martial artists, right? Who are into the martial arts. Start building your email list, and maybe you don't know what product to sell. That's fine. Do you know who you want to sell to, who the intended customers are? If you could just get that piece of the formula, create a free report, what we call an email capture page, get them on a list, and start sending them emails for affiliate products. At least you'll learn how to pitch a product. Use what I teach you today to pitch affiliate products on teleseminars, webinars. So Connie Green is one of my very good affiliates, brand new. She's just been with me for a while as an affiliate, but doing just great. And Connie is really awesome. Connie made $100,000 off the list of 1,000 people. And the way she did it was by getting them on teleseminars and selling them big tickets. And mostly that was selling affiliate products that were big tickets, not her own. Although she did start selling her own webinars and stuff and did good with those. So my point is, if you don't know what to sell, but you know who you want to sell to, get them on a list, start selling affiliate products, and then just create some of your own easy products. We're going to talk about this in the product creation module. I have some mind-blowing information coming up for you in about 2 or 3 modules. I don't remember the week it is, but when do we cover this? Let me look here. We cover product creation. Next week is traffic, which is going to be really exciting. Week 4 is products. And when we get to week 4 on the products, we're going to talk about this and really drill down, okay, what do you do on this and so forth. So I got a lot to say to you about that. But because you could just create a $10 product in an evening or a $17 product in an evening. This is, you know, you start out, a lot of you are trying to do the end all be all thing, and it's not how you do it. There's a totally new paradigm that really, to me, is a new paradigm anyway. My friend Jason Flatling came up with. I'm going to share that with you, and it's going to blow your mind. It blew my mind about a new way to approach product creation. I'm so excited about sharing that with you. So that gets what I wanted to say out about those of you who are stuck on either choosing a target market or what to sell. Now, if you can't figure out your intended customers, then you need to go watch this Module 1 video and just see how we went through and we found these different target markets. Because I just went through it step by step in about 1 hour and 15 or 1 hour and 20 minutes. In one evening doing this, you can find your target market in just one evening working on this. Now, someone had said, I started working on the research, but a lot of the info was maybe harder to find, or the topic's more complicated. I thought, well, I would say go back and watch the video here, because that's probably going to at least get you a start and help you. But really, on the research, it shouldn't be that hard. I mean, if it's that hard, then you may not have the right topic. And let me explain that. Because all I really need to do is, let's say my kettlebells. Remember that thing, kettlebells? Now, there's probably not a kettlebell forum, but I can try. See, I go here. Here's one, the kettlebell forum, believe it or not. There it is. Now, check this out. Google has search tools, right? And let me see where this thing is. Somewhere on Google. Those aren't the tools I'm looking for. Oh, is it? Where is it? I saw this the other day. They actually have a way you can search. Somewhere on here, you can actually search for forums. Groups. I think it may be groups. Oh, that's the Google groups. Okay, well, there's some Google groups about kettlebells. Even finding the Google groups, it gets you started. Then you have Yahoo groups. You know, if you're having a real hard time finding where people hang out, here's blogs if you want to search blogs. So you're interested in selling kettlebells. Let's see if there's any blogs about kettlebells. Now, a lot of times Google will just give you tips here. It gives you keywords. And so you go here and you search, okay? So here's blogs. So say, I mean, I don't even know anything about kettlebells, and we already found blogs. We already found a store, right? And I mean, that's just one of the target markets we picked out on the video. Somewhere in here, Google had, I think, a thing where you could search forums too. Let me see if I see it here. I found it the other day, but I'm not sure how. But if you just type in whatever your topic is in the word forum, you'll still find them. All right. But great ones, Facebook groups are good. So you can go to facebook.com. And, you know, I won't do it now. But you can log in over here, and there's plenty of Facebook groups. You see, because this is an important thing. Let me get some space here. Let's talk about the term target market, all right? And I can't spend a lot of time on this, but a market is what? A group of people who buy, right? Target means you can target them, right? If they're not in groups, right? If they're not in forums, right? If you can't get lists of them, right? If they don't read magazines, you know, basically, if you can't target them, you don't have a target audience and you need to go to your next topic. You got to be able to reach them. Now, you can try direct mail lists, right? But if you can't target them, you don't have a target market, and that's a really valuable thing to know, because the formula that I gave you in week one is really, this is a pretty simple formula. You know, we get our intended customers, and I'm going to help you on your pitch, which we're getting ready to jump right into at full-blown speed. But you get these intended customers, and you got to get this pitch or this message in front of them. If you can't get that message to them, you don't have a sell. Now, one of the feedback that I got was someone was marketing, EMR reports or something like that, and I don't even know what those are, but they didn't have buyers yet. That either comes down to you didn't get the intended customers on your list, or in this case, I don't think maybe you had enough of them, or the message isn't selling. And one way you find out if your message is selling or not is talk to people. Just call them on the, you know, tell them to call you. Meet them at groups. Go on forums and talk to them. You know, get on chat with them and meet, find out, well, is this appealing to you? Why or why not? Would you buy it? Why or why not? You know, so, all right. Let's get into the meat of what I have today, which is going to be really exciting. First, I think we'll cover the bullets here because they're more basic, and then we'll get into the more advanced info. First of all, just the real secret behind the amazing formula that no one really gets or understands, all right? Amazing formula that sells products like crazy, that's really a model, is what it is. That of making money online. Originally, I said you build your list, you find these customers that you can target that are hungry, you build a list of them, and really the original formula was to send an offer to them once a month, because back then that was like the best we knew to do, and you had bills once a month. If you sent out offer to once a month, you'd have money come in for your bills. Well, obviously over time that formula changed from. So that was the number one thing that I said, an amazing formula. And I still don't think a lot of people get or understand that. But the biggest lesson behind the amazing formula is revealed in the work by Ben Feldman. Now, Ben Feldman sold more insurance than anybody in the world for many years in a row. And you can actually go to Amazon.com. We can search Ben Feldman. So more insurance. One dude in a relatively small town sold more insurance than anybody in the world a number of years in a row. Here's his book, Creative Selling for the 1990s. Here's a book his manager wrote about, a great book called The Feldman Method. I have both of these. Fascinating to see how he sold so much insurance. There's another book by him. Well, the same one, that Creative Selling book, which is a great book. And it may even tell a little bit here about him. Let's see if it has any info down here about him. No. All right. No. Well, then let's just do this. Ben Feldman. We don't take much on this, but I just wanted to show you this really cool because I want to tell you his big secret of selling all this insurance. It's really fascinating. All right. Ben Feldman, insurance salesman. There's his Wikipedia entry. All right. He was one of the most prolific salespeople in world history. He sold, 1,800,000,000 of insurance policies from 1942 to 1993. He once held the world record for the most products sold by a salesman in a career, in a year, and in a single day, $20 million. His annual commissions were over $1 million per year, which at that time was massive. These totals were equaled only by the entire sales forces. He outsold the sales forces of whole entire insurance companies. Wow. And he lived in East Liverpool, Ohio, which was like a small thing. And this is just like how Ben would, this is exactly what Ben would say. When asked how he could sell such an intangible project as life insurance, Ben responded, "I do not sell life insurance. I sell money. I sell dollars for pennies apiece. My dollars cost 3 cents per dollar per year." That is exactly the point I wanted to make to you. And just, if you ever read him, it just sends chills practically down me just to even talk about it. Because here's the big secret. You say, "Marlon, can you just at the outset here, give me one big secret that just will set me on fire to sell so that even though I don't have experience and I maybe never done sales before, right? But show me that I can actually sell something." And here's the whole secret right here, all right? It's called selling dollars for dimes. Because see, if I come up to you and I say, "Hey, will you buy this dollar for $2? You'll be like, "No." I say, "Will you buy this dollar bill for 4 quarters? "No." "Why? Why would you?" But if I come to you and I say, "Here's a dollar bill. Will you pay me a dime for it?" Or, "Here's 10 bucks. Will you give me a buck for it?" "Here's 100. Will you give me 10 bucks for it?" I'm not going to struggle to make that sell. Do you understand that? That's really a no-brainer. Being able to buy 100 bucks for 10 bucks is really a no-brainer. So, if you're not getting people to buy, they're comparing their stack of money to your stack of value, and your stack of value is too small, or they don't believe you'll deliver the value, or your stack of value is too small compared to the alternatives, which we're getting ready to discuss. But the basic point there is this: you got to sell dollars of value for dimes. Now, there's two ways to do this. One is called signaled or perceived value, which is often cheap or free. Then there's the real value, right? But this perception of value, because see, you can have the greatest product in the world, but if people don't perceive that value, you lost the game. This is where a little concept called signaling a value comes in. You signal the value. That's packaging, presentation, and so forth. Now, we're going to nail this in a second. I'm going to show you how to have a superior experience versus the competition. But always, 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 just come back to this one thing if you're not selling. Come back and say, am I really communicating to my customers that they're getting dollars for dimes? Am I communicating it? Are they aware of it? Because that's the mindset. Now, it doesn't have to be real dollars for dimes. Remember, the perception. You've got to create perceived value. Like, did you ever go to buy some clothes or a watch or something, and maybe the person just had an intriguing story about it that made it seem a lot more valuable? Like, one time I was up in Arkansas, and we were driving the back of the roads, and we stopped at one of these little roadside stores that sold costume jewelry, and the person was telling how Liberace had stopped there once and bought one of these rings. And now, I don't know if the story was true or not, but it certainly increased your perception of value of those rings. That much I can say. So, dollars for dimes. Let's get back to our points here. Let me get back to our webpage. All right. So how did Ben Feldman sell more insurance than anybody in the world? The way he did it was he understood he was selling, just like you read on that Wikipedia quote, dollars for pennies each. Dollars that they would need for different events in their life, many triggered by their death, but he was able to sell them the money they needed to liquidate their estate, transfer their business to a business partner, etc., and he was able to sell them those dollars for only pennies each. That was the brilliance of Ben Feldman. He didn't see himself as selling insurance. He saw himself as selling dollars for only pennies. And that's the exact same mindset that if you get it, it'll serve you very, very, very well in your marketing and the rest of your life. Once you get that picture and keep that picture in your mind and find yourself returning to that dollars for dimes picture and thought and imagining in one hand over here the customer's money, and in the other hand over here, your value, and you've got to say which stack is a lot heavier, or are they the same? If you keep that and find that image coming back to you over and over in the future and next week and next month when you're working on your sales pitch and over the next year or two or three or four or 5 years, just that visual image and analogy is going to serve you very well and make you, I believe, a lot of sales. Now, we're going to go to a step-by-step formula over in a minute, so I'm not going to cover that here. Now, let's talk about grammar. A lot of people get hung up on grammar. And what I had to say is, like, when I originally wrote the formula for Sales Editor for Amazing Form, it had typos in it. And I didn't fix them for 3 years because once something's really selling great guns, you don't fix it. Don't fix what's working. The way I see marketing is this. You tried these different combinations that I presented to you in week one. Remember I said starting out that to get to 50 G's and beyond, you've got to unlock your vault. You've got to dial in the combination of who the intended customers are, where they hang out, the price they're already buying at, what pitch they respond to, right? Now, once you get that dialed in, don't change it. You got to be smart enough to try the different things until you get it dialed in. Then when you get it dialed in, don't change it. That's a real secret. Now, I didn't change Amazing Form for 3 years. I probably had some bad grammar in there too. See, it's not people don't buy good grammar. People buy because I could use horrible grammar, but if I'm selling you $100 bills for 10 bucks or a buck, you don't care about my grammar, see? Now, I'm not against good grammar, believe me. I believe in being articulately communicating your value proposition that we'll talk about shortly, but the real essence of it is, can you communicate value? Now, why the pitch is an absolutely essential block. This one I think I covered last week. You know, you've got these four things, you got elements you got to dial in. Who the customers are, where they hang out, the price, and the pitch. The pitch is a quarter of that. I'm going to show you how to do your pitch today. But it's just an essential block. You've got to be able to get people on your list or get your message out to them and have a compelling message that gets people to buy because everything hinges on it. Nothing happens until someone buys something. And you just got to try out different pitches. Like, because sometimes just people won't respond to one pitch, but they'll respond to another angle or another pitch, or sometimes you just got to change products. Don't get married to products. You can't, you know, you got to sell people what they want to buy, you know? It's hard to do sometimes. Sometimes you just are married to an idea or a product, and it's tough. Now, I'm also going to be sharing a formula on the spreadsheet, so on the mind map. So let's go ahead and jump into the mind map. All right. This is the core or the guts today of what I have to say to you. So let me get back here and take a little vote, make sure everybody's with me. All right. Let me get my attendee list here. All right. Okay, let me read through these. All right, okay, now, if you're with me so far, I just want to make sure that all of you are with me. If you're with me and you understand what I've said so far, raise your hand. See that hand, thank you. If you're with me, raise your hand. All right, good. Do you understand that if you sell dollars for dimes, you shouldn't be having a big problem of selling? And if you're not selling, they don't see that you're giving them dollars for dimes, or you may be giving them dollars for dimes, but some competitor has the perception that they're giving them even a better deal, which we're going to crush that in a second. Okay, good. I see a lot of hands there. I'm excited because what I'm getting ready to share with you now is going to blow you away. No one else teaches this. It's extremely valuable. So I'm just going to launch in and we're just going to go through it. First of all, how will you benefit from understanding the value proposition? Everything depends on the pitch, first of all. Everything. Because if you know who the customers, intended customers are, where they hang out, and the price point they buy at, but you can't get them to buy from you, you don't have a business. You have nothing. Conversely, once you understand the value proposition, at the end of today, I believe you'll be able to walk into virtually any target market and create a value proposition that will sell. Imagine that. Walk into any target market and be able to create a value proposition that will get people to buy. Number three, you'll be able to take your existing stuff and make it sell or make it sell better. And I know that's going to excite some of you that have stuff but you can't get anybody to buy it. What the value proposition is. A business, the value proposition is everything it takes to provide and communicate the value proposition. It's all the sales, all the cost of goods sold, the expenses and the profits created. So a business is a value proposition. If your business, if you think you have more than one value proposition in your business, you don't. You're in more than one business. Because by definition, a business is the delivery of a value proposition to intended customers in a specified time frame at a specified price, resulting in pre-agreed upon intended experiences. And I know that's a mouthful, but you'll understand it as we go through it. To deliver a value proposition means, now follow me on this, because I want to define this. I want to make sure before we go on that you understand the term value proposition, but I'll give you some examples in it in a second to make sure it's clear. But to deliver a value proposition, here's what that means. It means that the customer has a set of experiences that you intended them to have up front, not accidental experiences, but you promise the customer these experiences. You designed your business or to deliver those experiences. The customer not only gets those experiences, but they're aware. They're aware that they had the experiences, all right? So, to summarize, you do not sell a product or service. Did you know that? Now, you'll hear me talk about selling a product or service, but you really don't. This is a big change in my mindset, and I think it's critical. What you sell are the experiences the customer has as a result of having and using the product or service. And here's why this is so critical. A product is static. EMR reports, static. A website or training ebook or course about judo, static, right? Some of the rest of you emailed me about your product, or some of you had some health product ideas. Static. But experience is dynamic and changing. So the whole key to this thing, this is not a USP. In the old days, we talked about unique selling proposition. Now, for those of you who are new, let me just explain that terminology. What that meant, J. Abraham was the big advocate of the selling proposition, even though he didn't invent it. But Jay would explain it like, you know, why should someone give you their money instead of someone else? And what's unique about your product, right? What are they going to get from you? They ain't going to get from the next guy. Now, that's a good thing to think about. You better have that. Because if you're selling books, info products, reports, services, consulting services, and you can't tell them why people should give, you don't have a convincing argument about why they should give you their money instead of someone else, you probably don't have a sell. You follow me? But it's not sufficient. Because a USP, we also call it sometimes positioning. After USP, they came out with the term positioning, which was how the space that the product occupied in the mind of the customer. It's like the perception of the product. The difference is the value proposition. It's not the perception of the product. It's the experiences you get from the product. And that's all the difference in the world. And I'll give you some examples of this in a second. All right. Why is it important? Why am I so big on this? Here's why. Because you can be unique. You can be a unique consultant. You could have unique reports, products, ebooks, judo techniques, whatever it is you've got, but not necessarily be superior. See? Unique doesn't mean it's superior. You know? And the superior experience, this is really key. The superior experience wins over time. I want you to burn that in your brain and remember it always as long as you're in marketing. And you're in marketing whether you want to be all your life anyway. You're always marketing something to someone. The superior experience, set of experiences, wins over time. And not all experiences are created equal. So let's go here and talk about the elements of the value proposition and then some examples of it, all right? Here are the core elements of a value proposition. Let me just get over here because you all are going to want to learn probably or quite possibly more about this. And I can't possibly teach you everything today you need to know about the value proposition, right? So let me give you the seminal book on this that nobody knows about. This is like one of those, hardly anybody knows about this book, at least in the guru business, the internet marketing field. And knowing about this book will give you a huge advantage. And you can get it for $6.15. It's called Delivering Profitable Value. And the author is Michael J. Lanning, right here. And it's absolutely just a mind-blowing, sensational book. But I'm trying to boil it down because if, especially those of you who are newbies, you jump in there, I don't know if you're going to grasp it all. It's not that it's so complicated, but the way he explains it, I think it's very good, but maybe a little technical. So I'm putting it in words that I believe you'll be able to understand and relate to, and adding in my own ideas, as you'll see in a second. But every one of you, if you're really serious about doing your pitch, you need to read this book. You need to get it and you need to read it. Now, here in this book, he's the one that coined this term, value proposition, which has been, the only word I can think of is bastardized over the years. A lot of people use the term value proposition. They have no idea where it came from or what it means. Here's what he meant by the value proposition. It's an experience that you deliver to intended customers in a specified time frame, including the action that you want the customers to take, the alternatives that your customers have and why your experience is superior, and the resulting or outcome experiences the customer is going to get from using your intended product or service, from taking the action that you want them to take, which is not just to buy the product, it's to use it. So, as an example, you buy a razor, for example. The action you want the customer to take is to use the razor. Outcome experiences, can be the close shave and everything. And you say, well, Marlon, that's razors and there's no differentiation there and it's all the same. Actually, though, for those of you who shave, no, they're not all the same and not all the shaving experiences are the same. Like one electric razor you use it, man, you just practically have to scrape your skin to get, a nice, good, close shave. Same thing, ladies, makeup, it was all makeup. The experience you get from using any makeup the same? No, it's not, is it? So it's not the product. It's that when you use a product, you get an experience. So that's what the value proposition is. So here's what you need to find. Let's bring this down to you. Here's what you need to define for whatever it is you want people to buy. What experience or a set of experiences do you want them to experience as a result of buying your product or service? How are those set of experiences superior to the other set of experiences that they would get by buying somebody else's product? Do you sell consulting? What set of experiences via your consulting are you going to give that buyer that's superior to any other person they'd buy consulting from? Reports, EMR reports, whatever kind of reports it is. What kind of experiences are the customers going to get from those that they're not get? That's going to be superior to the experiences from other alternatives. See, what action do you want the customer to take? Who are the intended customers? What kind of time frame are you going to deliver this experience in? Those are the elements of the value proposition. So there's three things then that you go to define. So you have these five elements and then the three steps. Here's the three steps that I want you to lay out. What experiences will the customers have? Will you give your customers? How will you give each of those experiences to your customer? What's the mechanism? How will you do it? And then how will you communicate each of those experiences? Those are the three keys to pitching right there. Now, I realize this is a little bit beyond dollars for dimes. Now, some of you, if you're a newbie and you're just starting out, and you never sold anything to anyone, listen to me. If this blows by you and or something, just go out and sell dollars of value for dimes. You know, look at your hands. Imagine their money over here, your value over here. Keep stacking up your value till it's a lot heavier and you're going to sell. You just can't miss selling dollars for dimes. Very difficult. But having said that, this is an advanced step beyond, and I'll give you some examples here. What experiences will your customers have? How will those experiences be communicated? And how will they be provided? So let's look at an example or two. First of all, let's start with VHS versus beta tape to go back to use something that a lot of people can understand or relate to. All right? VHS versus beta tape. All right. VHS won out, didn't it? But now follow me. Listen to me. Why did VHS tape win out over beta? Even though beta provided what everyone said was a better picture, better movie, better quality. Why did VHS tapes win out? Does anybody want to, in your questions box, type in your answer why you think VHS won out? See if any of you have any ideas on this. Why did we use VHS? Well, before DVDs came along, why did we use VHS tapes instead of beta, even though beta delivered better pictures? Does anyone know? There's one. Cheaper players. Good. That's one of them. What else? But that is one. Price. That's part of the value proposition is price. The experience. I never saw a beta player, someone says. All right, fair enough. More marketing dollars, possibly. Better marketing. Well, see, marketing has nothing to do with the experience of the product. But I saw lots of VHS players. All right, cool. Right. Yeah, see, it's not marketing because marketing's got nothing to do with the product. Well, you could create the perception of value. But in this case, here's what it really was. And it's an interesting story. And he tells it very good in the book, Delivering Profitable Value. I've only seen beta at the TV station. It was more complicated than typical VHS machine. That's probably true. Compactness is true. The big watershed issue was simply that the video stores, possibly because of the size of the VHS tapes, I don't know the whole thing, but the video stores decided to carry what? VHS tapes. So even though beta was a better viewing experience, it wasn't a better overall experience. Why? Because you couldn't get the selection you needed. Now, what's interesting about this is we're having the same kind of thing happen right now with the Blu-ray and these different kinds of DVD things that have been going on. Because there's been this thing of what's Netflix going to sell? Which one are they going to make available? What's Blockbuster, and other video stores in the U.S. and in other countries, you have your video stores. But which format are most of the movies going to be available in? That all goes into the experience. Now let's talk about cassettes versus CD, another obvious one, right? CDs stored smaller, maybe they lasted longer, right? But the compactness, definite superior experience that you got from CDs, right? Now, as the final example here, though, think about this. What about this? Because this is happening right this very minute. Books, printed books versus Kindle. What about that one? Okay, so in my, I used to have in my home here, I don't know, 3,000 or 5,000 books. I've got, in the last 3 months, I've probably gotten rid of 500 of them down at the used bookstore. My friends are all buying books on Kindle by the loads because you can get rid of all these bookshelves and this stuff of books, right? I believe Kindle or possibly the iPad, because you got really, you got to think you got the iPad in here, right? Because you could read ebooks on your and books on your iPad, but the Kindle has this special lighting for the screen with e-ink and it reads easier. But with the iPad, you can read the books, but you can do other things for like the price, right? Plus, you can turn the pages with your finger on the iPad, which is so cool. You can't do that on the Kindle, or to my knowledge, you can't. Okay, someone says, I still prefer paper books. Fair enough. Now, understand. It's not about what any one customer prefers. It's what about the market as a whole is going to prefer. Did you know that right now, because I'm just not making this stuff up. Let me see if I can find the article. Right now, guess what's outselling hardcover books at Amazon? And this was on the front page here a day or two ago. I don't know if it's still there or not. There was an article here. See if I still see it. It may not be here. It's either here or CNN. See if it was CNN. In the last 3 months, the Kindle ebooks have greatly outsold hardcover books. They've crushed them. Not paperbacks yet, but they've already started crushing. I think it may be here. They've already started crushing the sale of hardback books on Amazon. And I predict this is only going to continue as the ebook readers get better and greater distribution. That trend is going to continue more and more and more. see if we see it here. If we don't, we'll go on. But I'm just... may have already be out of the headlines here. All right, we can do this. And that's really not even the point here. In fact, no, I'm not going to spend the time to look it up. But so it's not the point here, but it is the point that this is still up in the air. It's still up in the air how printed books are going to do versus Kindle versus iPad. But I predict that these are going to win out because, you know, I have two rooms that are basically libraries in my home. I like reading physical books, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I don't have any place to put new books anymore. I just don't have it. I also think it's really cool on the iPad. You can turn the page with your finger and stuff. The point is thinking through the value proposition. Now, let's go on because I have more to say about this. Let's talk but now about, somebody says here they prefer Kindle. Or they think they might win out. I think in the end, the digital's going to win out. Same thing as CD versus cassette or a VHS versus a beta. You're going to have a lot bigger inventory of books you can buy on Amazon and download than you have at the local bookstore. They're not going to be any storage for them. They're half the price. You know? All right, value equation. Which brings us to this. This is like my little magical formula. The perceived benefits minus the cost times the expectancy of getting the benefits allows you to rank each alternative. Because remember, here's what I said. Whatever it is that you sell or want people to buy, you don't sell it in a vacuum. Because people are comparing what you've got, your value, your experiences, you're offering them, your set of experiences, i.e. your product, to the other alternatives that they could buy. So here's the little formula they're going to run in their head. The benefits they perceive they're going to get, minus their perception of all the costs, not just the cost of the product, but it can be the cost of learning, the cost of other things needed to use the product, etc., times the expectancy of getting those perceived benefits. So whatever it is you sell, you need to run this, not just on your product, but run this calculation on every other alternative to buying your product and try to win. You need to win this equation. Your dollars for dimes here, dollars here, right? Perceived benefits, dollars minus the cost, times the expectancy of getting those benefits, the believability, the credibility, right? And you run this for you versus all the other alternatives, and you've got to win this equation. You see that? You've got to win that equation. If you don't win this equation, you're going to lose. Sales letter software. Yannick has instant sales letters. I have push button letters. Let's look at how this breaks down. I deliberately chose one I'm losing at the moment. Instant sales letters. What are the costs? Well, he gives you templates, so there's no writing, and he literally says that in his bullet points or on the letter. You do it in 2.5 minutes, and the software costs $40. That's his thing, right? The expectancy is guaranteed. He literally says in there that the letters are already written for you, has tons of testimonials. The perceived benefits are, hey, the letters are already written. I ain't got to write them. It's 2.5 minutes, baby, and it's $40 and it's guaranteed. Now, my product, push button letters, costs. Well, mine says you got to fill in the blanks and it's software. It's $100. Now, if I don't deliver, I'll give you a $500 course. That's the expectancy. Perceived benefits, those you do got to write. So follow me on this. Mine, you know, you're going to need at least 15 minutes and probably an hour, you know, or 2 hours, you know. Then there's other software out there like Yannick has or like mine that says it's 15 minutes, you know. And Yannick's deal is like no writing. So just think about the value proposition and the guarantee and everything. Like, which is going to win out, you know? Do they want letters already written or letters that you got to write by filling in the blanks? Do you want to do it in 2.5 minutes or 15 minutes, an hour, maybe longer with mine? Do you see what I'm saying? So you go look at the cost, the expectancy, and the perceived benefit. So here's just two alternatives. Now, there are other sales letter softwares out there and sales letter creators that I have to run my value proposition comparison with. I'm just showing you, when I revamp push button letters, which I'll probably do this year, this is what I'm looking at right here. That's what I'm looking at, is this comparison, these alternatives, so I can sell dollars for dimes and be superior. Here's my question to you. What set of experiences can you offer your intended customers that are superior? You've got to be able to answer that question. Then you have to be able to communicate that to customers. Are you going to demonstrate it? You going to write it up? Are you going to show them video? Are you going to have customers talk about one of the experiences? Peer selling? Getting people on a teleseminar and having them talk about it? See? How are you going to... What set of experiences will be superior? Then how are you going to communicate those? How are you going to get that message across? Now, I want to go on and talk about 5 major factors, and it's called the diffusion of innovation. So most of us, when we're into selling, you're probably going to be selling a new idea. But really, if you think about this, if you're offering a superior set of experiences, that's really a little bit of a new idea to customers because they didn't know about that superior set of experiences before. So I'm going to come at this from another angle that for some of you that are especially newbies, you might understand this a little better. And it's going to bring in one more set of factors that is amazingly powerful. I mean, this is really powerful stuff you're getting ready to learn. It comes from a book called The Diffusion of Innovations. And now, you don't need to read this book to get it, but it is a great book. And if you like to read, then I recommend it. And I bet there's a Kindle version. Well, I don't know if there's a Kindle version or not. We can see. It's called... A lot of the books that I get this stuff from, nobody's heard of them or know about them. They're rather esoteric. So, totally unbelievable book, though. I wonder if there's a Kindle version. If there's a Kindle version, I'm going to grab it. Really would like to have the Kindle version of this book or the iPad version. Nah, see, I don't think there's a Kindle version yet. Darn it. Here's the book, though, The Diffusion of Innovation. It's a totally, completely awesome book. It's just, I can't even tell you what a great book. And what this innovations mean is this is like Kindle edition. Hey, look, check it out. There's a Kindle edition. I am so going to freaking snag that. That is so awesome. All right. Now, this book said that they studied, what they did in this book is they studied all kinds of new ideas, like corn to a new breed of corn to farmers in Iowa. All kinds of new ideas. And there's this vast research project to study how these new ideas diffused. Fascinating, amazing, incredible book with case study after case study after case. How do new ideas spread sometimes and other times they die on the vine? Here, out of this whole book, I'm going to give you the five things you got to know about, the five musts that you got to know about. If you use these five things, see, once you understand the value proposition, you can go into any market, any target market, and say, okay, how do I create a superior experiences for these customers here? You go on the forums, you see what the problems are, you see what everybody's talking about, you see what they're interested in, you say, okay, here's 13 things that I can put together in a little experience bundle, 13 experiences, and that's going to be superior to anything else they're getting out there for this dealio, this product market, right? You can do that. But now let me show you the icing on the cake. When you understand these, any target market, almost any product, you add these five factors to it, and it's like putting a jet engine on the sucker. Like, you just almost can't not sell once you understand these five factors. Number one, the relative advantage versus the alternatives. You've got to have an advantage that can be quickly and easily communicated, preferable to be observable. What that means is that others can tell that they can see the results, right? Of the advantage. And here's the perfect example of this. Remember the Timex watch? And they I don't know if you ever saw the commercials, but they'd put it on the propeller of a boat. And they'd do these crazy ads where they, I don't know, hit it with a hammer, do all kinds of stuff. And the motto was, takes a licking and keeps on ticking. But you could visually see it. Now, I did a little promo for a thing, a 1-minute marketing, a video makeover. And I did a video where I made over a video in 60 seconds. It was observable. See? So, not only having this advantage, this superior set of experiences, that's what the relative advantage is, relative to the alternatives, that's what it's relative to. Relative to the customer's other alternatives, right? A superior set of experiences. But here's the trick. Go into any target market, pick any product, create a superior set of experiences. Now, make that set of experiences as demonstratable and observable as you can. Observable. That's what people do with clothing. You know why clothing lines have a Tommy Hilfiger logo or on them, or True Religion jeans have a logo on them? Or Gucci shoes have that unique Gucci look? Why is that? It's to make it observable to other people. That's why our push button letter software at the bottom of the page says powered by push button letters. So people who use the software are observable. Now, compatibility. It's got to be your idea, your product, your set of experience. It has to be compatible with what people are already used to. That's why the iPad, you can turn the page with your fingers. It's compatible. See? That's brilliant. Complexity. The lower the perception of complexity of whatever it is you're selling and whatever it takes for them to consume it, use it, and get this set of experiences, the whatever alternative is the least complex wins. In other words, remember last week when I said, hey, make it simple, right? Make it fast, or make it proven? Well, this is where simple comes from, right? Now, remember proven? What is this? Observability. That's proof because you can observe it. It's visible. You got to take what's intangible and try to make it visible. There's a guy named Harry Beckwith that has a book about selling the invisible. And he's talking about in there, how do you take the invisible and make it observable? Another way you do it, an idea is going to spread if it's more trialable than somebody else's idea. That's why sometimes at the store you'll go there and they'll give you a free little sample of shampoo. You walk by a fast food place and they're giving you a sample of chicken or something. So it's triable, see? If you have a new idea and you can just give people, so you go to a forum, you go to a target audience like I showed you, right? Pick a product, develop a superior set of experiences. Now, here's your supercharged juice. Find a way to make those benefits observable, even demonstrable. Make them compatible with the things the people believe, what they already believe, with their values, and with other things that they may already be using. Like in internet marketing, you probably should be making your ideas compatible if somebody's using AdWords or they're already sold on the idea of affiliate programs. You got to be compatible with that other junk they got in their head or they're going to reject you. Complexity. The lower the complexity, the better. And the more that people can just try out your idea, the better it's going to sell and the better it's going to spread. So, superior set of experiences, a clear advantage you can easily communicate. Now, this is where the superior set of experiences can be a little bit of tricky, because you can have a superior set of experiences, but if you can't simply communicate that advantage, boy, it's tough. If you can't make it observable and it sounds too complex and you can't easily try it out, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. So, I want you to have an easily communicated advantage. Hey, it's simpler. It's faster. It's proven. Something like that. Superior set of experiences, though. Make it observable. Make it compatible with what they believe, what they're already doing, as compatible as you can make it. Make it simple versus complex, at least as simple as you can. It may be complex, but make it as simple as you can, right? And make it so you can try it out easily. Now, take any product and improve those five factors. And what you're going to have is a brand new pitch formula, which I promised you. Because what's the pitch? You start out the sales letter in the headline with the relative advantage, the big advantage, the superior set of experiences you offer. Then you launch right in with proof, showing how observable it is, showing how it's compatible with the other things they're thinking about, other things they believe, other things they're doing. It builds upon where they're already at in life, in their business, in whatever. Show them not just the product is simple, but it's going to be simple for them to get the whole experience. You're just going to make it easy pie for them, and they can try it out without having to buy in. Now, sometimes trying it out is just doing a demo or a demonstration. Sometimes the trialability can be vicarious by having somebody already using the thing to talk about their experiences with it. That's where peer selling comes in. Peer selling is enormously powerful. So take any product and improve the five factors, and then this becomes basically your sales letter blended in with what you already know about writing sales letters, the formulas that I teach that are more basic in Amazing Formula and push button letters. Now, last thing. In one of the bullets, I promise you importance times Two formulas, actually. That's one. Let me give you another one here. Importance times. Let me go back to our formula. Hold on. Just hang out. Where's my formula here? What was it? Importance times saliency. There it is. Probability times salience. That's the one I was looking for. Okay, I already had it there. Let me delete this then. Okay. Your importance is the same thing as saliency. Times probability versus the alternatives. So to wrap up today and to try to encapsulate this for you again for newbies, and maybe you understood the dollars for dimes, but maybe there are a few things here. Hopefully you were able to grasp these five factors. If not, get The Fusion of Innovations and read. It explains them in depth. But let me just give you this formula that's one step beyond dollars for dimes. You got to explain, number one, why what you're doing is so important. Remember I started out how you will benefit, why it's important? If you do consulting on something and you're going to help them with something, make it better, solve problem, you got to explain to them why this is so important and build up the importance of it. You'll see this a lot of times online. Say you're selling an ebook on doing Google AdWords. You're going to start out talking about why it's so important and why that it can create all this predictability and it's so much better than SEO or these other things and why it's so important. Then you're going to raise the probability and their perception. Remember, we had this, our little equation. Remember this expectancy? You're going to raise the expectancy, the probability here. See, importance raises the value of the perceived benefits. When you start talking about how important these benefits are, you're creating a greater perception of value of the benefits. Now, you raise the probability or the expectancy of getting these highly important benefits that are so critical to get. Then you do this and show how it's superior to all the alternatives. Maybe you state that overtly in a comparison, but you don't always want to do that. Sometimes you're playing political games and you draw out your scenario where it's just so obvious how it's superior to the alternatives. Do you see that? Now, I'm going to give you your assignment and then we're going to take questions. The assignment. This is, remember, I promise you that you would have a personalized plan to go from scratch to 50 G's. That's what our goal is here. We're going to talk about other elements of that in upcoming weeks. Because let me just show you what we have in store for you. Next week is getting the eyeballs. Because you can have the pitch, but you also got to get that pitch, that message in front of the people. In front of the eyeballs. So we're going to talk about where and how some of my friends with different marketing formulas just crush it by getting eyeballs to their offers. Where and how, if you're an absolute newbie, you can get enough eyeballs to sell your first $1,000. How to scale up your traffic and your eyeballs once you've locked in that basic formula. Why eyeballs are the key to scaling up, we'll talk about that. How to avoid the biggest mistakes and traps, blah, blah, blah. I've got, though, a killer thing. Just Jason Flatley and I were brainstorming last night. We came up with an awesome way that I'm going to give you that even if you're a newbie, you can get started getting traffic and you can scale it up and it works and is compatible with your affiliate program, which is the best way to get traffic. So, and that's not even everything we have coming. That's just next week. Then we have the whole product thing, which is going to be really, I have some exciting things about products. And see, some of you have idea constipation. In fact, let me get the hands down here. If you have idea constipation, raise your hand. What I mean is, you got a list of ideas on a pad or on a notepad or on your computer, and ain't any of them implemented, or most of them aren't implemented, or only 10% done, a quarter done, a half done, but they're not done. Some of you may just have a yellow pad or a pad of paper or a notepad on your computer and you just got a bunch of ideas on it and none of them are implemented. How would you like, okay, let me take those heads down. How would you like to be able to get those ideas off the pads into action, putting money into your bank account, raise your hand if you'd like to be able to do that. That's what I'm going to show you how to do, and it's revolutionary. I mean, it's helping me. I just discussed this with Jason last night. I'm like, oh my gosh, Jason, that is the most incredible thing, because it's going to enable me to get ideas off some of my pads and notepads and out into the market and put money in my bank account, and you can scale up from it. That is just blockbuster. Then after that, and we're still not done, then week five, this is scaling up. Because somebody asked at the beginning, are you going to show us how to scale up? Well, we're going to discuss some of the scaling up to 50 G's and even potentially over in week five. And that's good. And then in week six, this is your outsourcing. I know some of you are interested in outsourcing because you're overwhelmed. I'm going to be sharing from the School of Knox about outsourcing. All right, now, here's your assignment. What superior set of experiences can you offer to your customers versus the alternatives? And I want you to email that to me. And how can you apply the five elements, the five factors? Well, you got two sets of five factors here. So really, first of all, is your value proposition. What time frame are you going to deliver it in? Who are the intended customers? What action do you want them to take? What are the basic alternatives that they have if they buy from someone else instead of you? How are your set of experiences going to be superior to those alternatives, right? Then, if you have time and want to, tell me the experiences the customer have, how you'll provide them, how you'll communicate them. I'm not requiring that, but if you want to send me that, that's good. For each of your alternatives, run them through this equation. The perceived benefits, remember, the importance, the perceived benefits, the probability here, the expectancy minus the cost, and just run it through each alternative just like I did here. The cost, the expectancy, the perceived benefits for each alternative. In fact, you can grab this. This is just free mind mapping software here, and you can just mind map that out. Then the five factors. The relative advantage, how are you going to make that advantage observable or demonstrable? Is it going to be compatible with the things they believe, the other things they're doing? How are you going to simplify it so it's not, doesn't appear to be so complex? And how are you going to allow them to try it out? But this is your magic formula here. If nothing else, just send me an email and say, here's how I'm going to sell dollars for dimes. I mean, if you can't do anything else, just sell dollars for dimes and you're probably going to sell. But to be a little more sophisticated, how are you going to raise the importance? How are you going to show them the probability, right? Value equation, expectancy, probability. How do you raise probability? Well, you know, peer selling. If you have successful customers, you can get them on a teleseminar, get them on a webinar, walk them through, do a demo, explain the logic. Watch how competitors sell it. You know, some of you said, well, I just don't know how to reach my customers. Well, is anybody selling to them? What are they buying? How are those other people that they're buying from reaching them? Where are they advertising to them? How are they reaching them? Study the people already selling to them. If you don't know what they're buying, ask them what they're already buying. Find out where they're buying it from. Buying it from magazines? Going to forums? Where are they? You got to find the people. If you can't find them, you can't get your message to them and you can't sell them. So, at least, at bare minimum, send me what superior experiences you can offer. If you want to, go through these elements, the time frame, the intended customers, the action you want to take, the alternatives, and the resulting experiences, if you want to. And then how are you going to apply these five major factors: relative advantage, observability, compatibility, complexity, trialability. Email those to roundtable1978@yahoo.com. Now, I have a little bit of time left here, so here's what I want to do. First of all, before I ask what you learned today, do any of you have any questions about this? About something I said that wasn't clear, you want me to try to quickly clarify? I mean, the best thing to do is to read the two books, Delivering Profitable Value and Diffusion of Innovations, but I understand some of you may not even have time for that. And if you don't, that's fine. Sell dollars for dimes, right? take and run your equation, the benefits minus the cost times the probability or expectancy for each alternative the customer has, and make sure you win that equation. The example teaches not only did you explain what a value proposition is, the webinar itself was an example of one. Well, I'm trying to make this whole series of 6 weeks. I mean, I built it on this. Now, I don't think I did a great pitch for it because, you know, this isn't like the big focus of my business. If I were to really make this and really try to sell this big, let me tell you where I think my weakness is on it. The five factors. The value proposition is a little complex to explain, and I didn't have a way to make it real highly observable. I tried to. But the observability, I would have really, to really have this, I need somebody who's been through the webinar, you know, maybe gone out and done it, and then's able to come on and show people how they did it in their business, something like that, to be able to make it more observable or demonstratable. So now I have other products that are highly observable. The more observable the product is, the simpler it is to explain, the less complex it is appears to be, the more someone can just try it out, the easier it is it's going to be able to sell, right? Any other questions, something you want me to clarify on it? You got the point across. Okay, good. Can we get the mind map with your recording? Yes, I will do that. So yes, you can have the mind map. And I will get that up maybe tomorrow. Again, sometimes it takes 2 days on these things because our staffing is adequate, but we have also have a lot in the hopper. All right. But yes, of course you can. I also recommend there's some logic to what I'm doing. Week one, we did what? PowerPoints, right? Week two, we did the free mind map. These are two ways that you use to do what? Create products or sales pitches. Do you realize you can take your value proposition, your superior set of experiences, explain your value equation like this, and walk through PowerPoint slides with each alternative the customer has, explaining this equation for each alternative and showing how you win that equation? Do you realize that you could do that on PowerPoint slides like last week, or you could do it in a mind map like this, and each thing here would explain your value proposition? Then you could have your customers' alternatives here and just walk through them. Can you see how incredibly powerful that could be? And then at the end, you wrap it up with this. Here's the importance of each alternative in a spreadsheet or a chart. The probability and the alternative, that's, you know, or the alternatives, that kind of thing. Just one way to do it, but I'm also showing you how to create info products and formats that you could use to create pitches. Now, does using buying triggers come into this part? Well, the buying triggers, I assume you mean like there's different people have different terms. Like E. Joseph Sugarman taught triggers. You've got some people would call the levers of influence of Cialdini. On that, like the Cialdini things all fit into the expectancy because they're persuasion. So the six or seven laws of influence of Cialdini, reciprocity, all of those, the social proof, etc. Those all fall into the expectancy for the most part. So yes, any persuasion technique fits into this formula. All I try to do is boil it down to what's the essentials. Like, what do you gotta have? At heart, you got to sell dollars for dimes. If you want to take it to the next level, you got to win the value equation versus each alternative. So you got to take every alternative, map it. You got to win that. You got to win the equation. So good question. Does anybody else have a question or something you need clarity on? All right. Tell me what you got out of today. Either what you got out of it or what you're going to do with it. I'd prefer to hear what you're going to do with it, but if not, just tell me something you learned or got out of it today, or an insight or a light bulb went off in your head. Do some of you find out or understand now why you haven't been able to sell? Or maybe you see now how you could go into any market, Map out a superior experience. Run your value equation versus every other buying alternative and win it, right? Plug in the five major factors and just crush it. What did you get out of today? Put it on the questions. Because it helps you to articulate it. It helps you cement your own learning when you articulate it. Mind mapping can be used in a product about adoption. Absolutely. And it's a great way to do a little pitch of your experience versus all the alternatives. We will never design our ads the same way again. Well, I hope not. Because, see, if you sell a product, I was in a trap of selling products with push-button letters. Do you know why I lost this equation? I thought I was selling a product, but I was really selling an experience. And I lost my experience versus the alternatives. I didn't continue to provide a superior experience. I've got to reinvent push-button letters and be committed to always making it not a product, but a superior experience. It's not a product. It's a set of experiences for creating a letter I'm giving a customer. And I can kick instant sales letters in the tail end if I so decide. It's a set of experiences. It's just, can you create a superior set of experiences? Yes, I can. As a matter of fact, I can. I will. Probably by the end of the year. Someone else articulate. The requirement of a different mindset in terms of my presenting something superior experience, and I can do that. Now, you don't necessarily have to go through and dog out the competition and all of that. You can present a superior set of experiences without naming the competition. I think it's generally fair to name generic alternatives without naming specific competitors. Like saying, you got five basic alternatives. Number one, you can do this, 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 and this. Let's look at each of those alternatives, right? I can do that with sales letters. You can hire a copywriter. You can use sales letter templates. You can use a software program, you know, or you can fly by the seat of the pants or hire a copywriter. Let's look at each one of those alternatives. All right. Who else had an insight? Something that a light bulb went off, or something that you intend to do as a result of today. By the way, if you get this program in the future, go ahead and email it. Go ahead and email. I won't respond to it, but go ahead and email it because it cements it in your brain to email it to roundtable1978@yahoo.com. That puts it in your brain that it's important and you're committed to it. You got the insight. You articulated that insight, and now you intend to act on that insight. Who else has something? You've been on this call, all right, this webinar. What did you get out of it? What did you learn? Focus on the existential element, the experience versus the product. Yes, very much so. Anyone else want to articulate? You don't have to. I'm not putting you on the spot. It's just that it helps you learn by articulating it. I've been trying to create, right, a market. I maybe need to create another market. It's possible. You go out there. And first of all, is anybody buying something similar to what you're doing? The other alternatives. Can you beat with your EMR things that you're selling? Can you provide people dollars for dimes? If you can, I believe you can sell it. But if you can't give them a dollar for dimes or a superior set of experiences, then maybe you'll look for the next thing, see? Because you don't really create a market, but what you do is if you can offer people dollars for dimes and save them a dollar for every dime they spend or make them a dollar for every dime they spend, you got to sell. You know, but if you go in there and there's just not any compelling superior set of experiences that they're willing to pay for, because see, the price is part of their experience in their mind. So including the price, including the learning curve, including the implementation, including whatever, it's got to be a superior set of experiences to them, preferably dollars for dimes. Who else has an insight or light bulb went off or anything else you might want to articulate? If you do, go ahead. You're not obligated. It's a great presentation. I've spent an enormous amount of time reading and learning positioning, but... I could crank out idea after idea and sell them like hotcakes about learning experiences. Well, it's true once you get it, and some of you may need to read the book to really get it, because there's so much in there. I mean, he outlines how you build a whole entire business or around value propositions. And there's so much more I can't really cover. For some of you, it'd be too heady. For some of you that really get it, you would just dig in and it would just blow your mind. Find ways to improve the experience and ways to remove the barriers to that experience. Yeah, you know, just, I have a whole book. I have a whole entire book that is only talking about how if all you do is decrease complexity, if all you do is decrease complexity, you increase sales. Let me grab the name of that book because it's really simple and some of you want something just real easy to get a grasp on might want it. Let me get the name of that. Let's see. Yeah, I may have to bring it up next week. Let me see if I see it on Amazon. Then we'll wrap this up. But anybody else who has a comment, go ahead and post it while I look this up. I think it's called The Change Function. They found out just by really simplifying an experience. Yeah, right here. The Change Function. Why some technologies take off and others crash. This is a very simple book. You can get it Kindle, right? Very simple, easy book to read. With just really one premise. The simpler it is, the better it's going to sell if it's technology. If it's too perceived as too complex, ain't going to sell. That's the whole book in a nutshell, but it's a great book and you can read it in a couple hours. Which book should we read first? Delivering Profitable Value, number one. You don't have to read Diffusion of Innovations. It's heady. It's fascinating. I probably read it 5 times. But yeah, if you only read one book, get and read Delivering Profitable Value. At least work through it what you can. Everybody's at different levels. See, my reading comprehension is so high that sometimes I don't know how well it's going to communicate to other people. I didn't find it that hard to read. In fact, I loved it. I probably read it 3 or 4 times. I've read Diffusion of Innovations probably at least 5. I mean, I have multiple copies of these books because I like to buy them and mark them up fresh. All right, I want you to email me your assignment, if you so desire, roundtable1978@yahoo.com. Next week, coming up, more incredible things and excitement because we have traffic. So you get your pitch down, right? You get your value proposition down. Now you're going to need to get traffic to it if you're going to crank up to 50 G's. You're going to have to get some serious traffic. Next week, we're going to talk about getting serious traffic. Some of you, though, have got to go back and reevaluate your experience that you're offering people, right? You got to reevaluate that. But remember, you know, if you only get one thing out of today, and that's all you get, if you only got one thing out of today, here's what I want you to get. Sell dollars for dimes. You know, if you're selling a dollar of value for a dime and the customer perceives that, it's pretty hard not to make the sale, right? The second most important thing I would say to get out of today is just this little super simple value equation. The perceived benefits, right, minus the cost times expectancy. And you do that for each alternative the customer has. Super, super eye-opening. Because see, it's not the sales letter. It's not how you articulate the pitch. Everything is in the equation. Do you get it? I don't know if I made that clear. It's not about you blabbing on and on in your pitch and writing the perfect letter or doing the perfect webinar. The whole magic is right here in the equation. Then you got to be able to communicate and articulate it. But the secret is in the equation. That's the secret right there. That's your secret sauce right there in the equation. Ladies and gentlemen, I do thank you for your time. I hope that I have opened your eyes. I promise you that I would try to make this the best 6 weeks and the most valuable 6 weeks of your entire year. And I intend to deliver that in the rest of these sessions. So I thank you for being here. I plan on seeing all of you next week. You do have an assignment here, and I encourage you to do it and email it to me. My name is Marlon Sanders. I am the ambassador of internet marketing, an advocate of what I call the gospel of marketing. Thank you for being on today, and I plan on seeing all of you in a week. Until then, have a wondrous and prosperous time. Bye, everyone.